morning. Time to wake up and listen to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. Great to be back with you here once again on Holy Spirit Radio on this Wednesday, March the 29th. Let's kick things off in prayer by praying the morning offering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, my works, my joys, my sufferings of this day, for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, in thanksgiving for your favors, in reparation for my sins, for the intentions of all my relatives and friends, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, I want to say good morning and hello to all of my friends at St. Robert Bellarmine Parish, who attended the three-day parish mission. We packed the house again last night. It was amazing. I want to talk more about that later. But we have new listeners. I've been asking you to listen to the show. So many people have tuned in and said, Dave Parker, good morning, by the way.
Good morning, Gary.
Said that they like the program and even like you.
What?
Right? I mean, that's people like us.
How could they not like me and you?
I don't know.
Don't answer that, folks.
Frank Eliason, good morning. How could they not like Dave Parker and Gary Zimak?
Oh, may I count the ways? Wait,
all right. Oh, okay.
Just going to say.
You know, sometimes I make it too easy.
Yeah. You know, real quickly, I was talking to our good friend who calls in, Jim, if you're listening. What's up? You know, I said maybe we'll get a little Philly today, you know, or a little like old 90s, you know, Boys to Men.
Well, he's
spunky
today.
Yes, yeah. He is.
What's up?
You and I were
I know.
We were sitting in the back having a chat, and he's like, oh, there's a minute and a half before we're on. And we're like, oh, okay, I guess we better get in there.
Yeah, yesterday, I had the extra strength coffee. I think Dave got it today, right? I was all fired up. It
must be the water. I don't know. Good morning, gentlemen.
But it was a great night last night at the parish mission. Met so many new listeners. And I want to thank you. And do me a favor, you listening out there, if you like what we're doing, share the news with your friends. We got to get the word out about Spirit in the Morning. Certainly, and Frank, you'd back me up on this, the most unique Catholic morning program in existence, I would say.
I think it's ultimately, as you look at the programming around the country and you look at different things out there, this is a show that brings people in. And, you know, ultimately, that's what we're about. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we all should be doing in our faith, is
Absolutely.
Bringing people into the faith.
Absolutely.
So, right. and it's fun. Our faith does not have to not be fun.
Exactly.
It's not all about...
We don't have to be sad and sullen and morose.
Exactly.
That's what the Pope says many times. He said, we do not need to be sourpusses.
That's
what he said.
Yeah.
Right? We can have fun being Catholic.
He doesn't know you.
I was thinking, you beat me.
All right. You used to be so nice to me. It used to be Dave that would abuse me, but now it's...
Well, Gary, I was getting back to what you said about more listeners. I think that's an awesome thing, and thank you for listening. Any more about that? I mean, they came up to you and said, we really listen to you.
Yeah, they really enjoy the show. One guy said, it kind of reminds me of what I used to listen to. I used to listen to classic rock in the morning. And he said, this kind of reminds me of what they used to do there. But the point is, we try to lift you up in the morning. We try to inspire you. We try to give you some good music. And let me just talk about the guests on today's program. It's going to be interesting, guys, who we have. Stephen Henley is the executive director of Legatus. They're a business organization. I speak to a lot of their chapters. He's going to be talking about when we are in a situation at work, when your boss or your work itself requires you to do something that's against your faith.
Mm.
That is a challenge. That is a very real challenge.
Absolutely.
And he's going to address that today. Also, Jim Papandrea will be here. He's written a book, Handed Down, The Catholic Faith of the Early Christians. And this is from Catholic Answers Press. He's going to address the question that sometimes we think here in the year 2017 that we are smarter than the earlier Christians, that the faith evolves in a sense and that we know more than they did. Mm-hmm. But Jim's going to talk about the fact that the faith has been handed down through the centuries, and it really does matter. You hear a lot of talk about the church fathers.
Yeah, that's kind of an arrogant approach of modern... Catholicism, maybe. Oh, by some people.
By
maybe not
some
all.
Some people, but it's a really good point. And so many people, Frank, have been brought into the church by reading the writings of the church fathers, the people from the early church.
There is something to be said about the faith and how it has lasted so many years and you know how it has been a part of our lives. Ultimately, you know, I had this conversation with Deacon Rich, and you know, he points out that, you know what? Faith's pretty smart. You know, they know. The Catholic teachings have been there. They're well established and established on Scripture, and often established for a long time. It wasn't like a new revelation came out and changed our faith.
Right.
And you know, it's also important to think about this as the secular world tries to change our faith.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. It does. It does.
And ultimately, you know, our faith is there. It's been there.
And I was going to say, especially with Western educational systems, you know, modern, a lot more folks going to school, all that kind of stuff, and then maybe they get away from them. Maybe too much in the, not to knock the scientific method, but they start getting away from something that's based in faith.
Right,
you
right.
You know, I mean, and so we have a lot more educated people in the world in general.
Right,
they
right.
just want to believe what they believe and check a box.
Well, that's right.
You know, they make a faith a puzzle. I'm going to take this, but I don't want this.
Well, it's because of what so many, and we can all be guilty of this at times, what's comfortable, what feels good. And some of the more challenging teachings of Christ are those which we would rather ignore. Exactly. You know, okay, Lord, I know you said I have to love people that annoy me, but you know what? We're going to put that aside. I give a lot of money to church, so that's okay. But
so I check the box.
Right? Here's what I think is really, really makes a lot of sense and what hits me about the church fathers. And the church fathers are the writers of the early Christian church. Many of them lived shortly after the time of Christ. Some of the earliest church fathers knew the apostles.
Exactly.
So can you imagine talking to one of the apostles and saying, hey, tell me about Jesus. What did he really say? What did he really believe? They were very close to the time of Christ.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
So the way they worship,
that's spot on.
That's the way I want to worship. And if we look at some of the writings of the early church fathers, specifically St. Justin Martyr, I think there's a section documented in the Catechism. He describes the early worship of the Christians and what their service looked like. And if you go through it line by line, it's the Mass.
Exactly.
And
we just had, Mike Aquilina on about a week? He's the one of the resident experts, on the fathers and doctors of the church, especially early church.
Yeah.
And he kind of alluded to that.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that. I don't want to talk about it too much because we need to get Jim on the show. He's the expert, not me. But we are going
to. What are you telling us here?
We're going to talk about that more later.
We're on a roll here, buddy. But you're right.
Also, before I read the gospel, what do I have left?
We have 4 minutes.
Okay. Frank, tomorrow on the show, we've got a very special broadcast.
Yes,
we have our friend Teresa Peterson.
I can't wait.
And some of the other people who are performing with her. They're doing a live series of concerts. Dana Catherine and Luke Speyer, they're going to be in town, live in the studio, performing some of their music.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, it's probably part of the community, Abbey Fest, and what they're putting on.
That's right.
He's part of this Catholic community, and it's so much connects to the show. Mm-hmm. You know, this show is, you know, oftentimes about reaching people through music.
Correct.
And, you know, if people start paying attention to the words in the songs that you choose, you know, there's reasons behind every single one of them. And these performers, that's what they do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They create this art.
Absolutely.
That brings people into the faith. So
I was going to say, isn't that one of our core of our show, the cores of our show, music?
That's Gary's, right. That's
what
right.
What Gary brought to us.
That's right. That's always been something that's affected me. And many, many people who listen to the show are telling me, I love your music. This is new. I like this.
It's fresh. It's fun. And, you know, start paying attention. But I would actually suggest paying attention to the words in the songs, not just the beat
of
the music.
Exactly.
You know, because often those words have huge messages.
They sure do. And that's the reason we pick the songs that we do. Okay, let's take a look at today's gospel. It's from John chapter 5, verses 17 through 30. Jesus answered the Jews, "My Father is at work until now, so I am at work." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also called God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Jesus answered and said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, the Son cannot do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For what he does, the Son will do also. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, so that you may be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so also does the Son give life to whomever he wishes. Nor does the Father judge anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes the one who sent me has eternal life and will not come to condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Amen, amen, I say to you, the hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so also he gave to the Son the possession of life in himself. Mm-hmm. And he gave him power to exercise judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, because the hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come out, those who have done good deeds to the resurrection of life, but those who have done wicked deeds to the resurrection of condemnation. I cannot do anything on my own. I judge as I hear, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. Man, Jesus, you gave us a lot today.
Yeah. But we could go home now. That was it. But that would wrap it up.
Here's what Jesus is saying.
Mic drop.
Yeah, right. Right. I mean, yeah.
We're pumped, folks.
Yeah, yeah, let me. But I mean, seriously, that is a very, very, some good points there. What he's saying is, I came to do the will of my Father. Jesus had a mission to do. He is equal with the Father. People didn't want to hear that. It's like, what are you talking about? We're not going to listen to you. But Jesus did the will of God. That's what he was here to do. And he's our role model. You want to imitate somebody in life, imitate Jesus. And Jesus always sought to do the will of the Father. He did it perfectly. That's my goal today. That's your goal today. And ask for the grace to be able to do that. During this Lenten season, we want to get back on track. We want to get closer to the Lord. We want to be able to do his will in everything we do. When we come back from break, we're going to be joined by Stephen Henley, who's going to talk about that. How do you bring your faith into the workplace? And should you do it? Stay tuned. We'll be talking about that right after we come back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for March 29th. Today we celebrate Saint Ludovico of Caesarea. Christ's love has wounded my heart. Those words from today's saint help explain why he spent so much of his life serving God's people in an amazing number of ways. Born near Naples, he was a cabinet maker before entering the Franciscans in 1832 and taking the name Ludovico. Ordained 5 years later, he taught younger members of his province until a life-altering mystical experience set him on a new path. After that, neither his charity nor his energy could be contained. Ludovico dedicated his life to the poor and the infirm in a new and deeper way. He established a dispensary for the poor, two schools for African children, and an institute for the children of nobility. He founded an institution for orphans, the deaf and the speechless, and other institutes for the blind and elderly. He began charitable institutes in Naples, Florence, and Assisi. To help continue these works of mercy, he established religious communities of men and of women who formerly belonged to the secular Franciscan order. Ludovico died in 1885 after a 9-year illness. He was beatified by Pope John Paul II in 1993. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. Oh, I'm broken. Lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who've strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame.
Come As You Are by Crowder. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Let's take a quick look at the weather right now at the Philadelphia International Airport. We have 48 degrees. Today it's going to be sunny with a high near 61. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low around 37. And Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 54. Currently in Yardley, it's 46 degrees. In Exton, 45 degrees. And in Riverton, New Jersey, it is 48 degrees. I want to talk right now about one of the real challenges that many of us face on a daily basis. What happens if we are in a situation in the workplace where our boss asks us to do something that may violate our Catholic beliefs? What do we do? How do we handle that? We're joined by right now by Stephen Henley, who is the executive director of Legatus, a network of Catholic business people, and he's going to share with us some advice. Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Good morning, Gary. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us in the program. You know, I'm a big fan of Legatus. I've spoken to probably 25 chapters. Next Tuesday, I'm headed to Las Vegas to address the Legatus chapter out there. You're doing fantastic work. For the benefit of anybody who might not be familiar with Legatus, could you just briefly tell us about the organization?
Sure, I appreciate that, Gary, and we love having you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Legatus is an organization founded by the former owner of the Domino's Pizza and the founder of Ivy Marie University, Tom Monahan. And it's an organization for Catholic business executives, CEOs, presidents, and their spouses, solely to help them become better Catholics and help them live out their life and their business and at home. So we have over 90 chapters across the U.S. and Canada, and it was started back in 1987, and this year we celebrate our 30th anniversary.
Wow. Wow. And it's such a good group, and there's such a need for it. It's a very real challenge in the world today. We're in the workplace. We're Catholics. And, you know, we hear from the culture. The culture tells us faith is a private matter. Keep your faith to yourself. What do we do, Stephen, when we're in a situation where our boss might ask us to tell a white lie or maybe to overcharge a customer or do something that violates our principles, our Catholic principles? How do we handle that?
Well, first and foremost, Gary, I think what we have to do as Catholics is we have to live out our faith on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And that means starting our days with prayer. You know, when we can, if we can, go to daily communion and receive our Lord and Jesus in communion so that we can have as many graces as possible to fight this battle. Because it is a constant battle. It doesn't matter if you're working in the public sector or the private sector or a Catholic organization, we are always going to have those temptations. But by being in the sanctifying grace, by having that and by surrounding us with like-minded people that are in those same situations every day, and that's kind of what the whole point of Legatus is. You need to surround yourself with people that are in your corner, that know the experiences that you're going through, and that also have those same beliefs, and that's I think the first and foremost step is ensure that you're in full sanctifying grace, surrounding yourself with like-minded people,
right,
and then working for an organization that you truly have faith in, and if it's not an organization that falls within your moral beliefs as a Catholic. Well, you've got to open your heart up to what God has in store for you. Maybe you're there to help catechize, help bring somebody to the church. Maybe you're there to be a witness to others. You never know who's watching,
right.
You know, in the small things. It could be, you know, wearing that rosary ring around your finger, or it could be having that Bible or that crucifix on your desk. It's the small things, I think, that really start the conversation and get people to start being curious.
I agree. And when I was, before I started working in full-time ministry, I was a software developer for 30 years. And what as I started to grow closer to Christ, I did that. I had a crucifix on my desk, and my company didn't hassle me about that. I was able to do it. I can't tell you how many times somebody noticed that or made a comment. I could tell you several occasions where I had somebody come in my office, and they started using offensive language, and they took a look at the crucifix, and they said, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. I mean,
yeah,
it really does matter.
That is.
Yeah.
And also going, you know, having lunch, or, you know, when you go to the break room, and you make that sign of the cross before your meal.
Yes.
It's something so small, something we take as Catholic for granted.
Yeah.
When somebody sees that, especially if they're a fallen away Catholic, perhaps, they think, wow, like, this is crazy. This is amazing.
Yes, yes. And I think you hit on one of the keys. I'm so glad you talked about going to daily mass if possible and getting as much grace as you can, because that grace is what strengthens us when we feel that temptation to back down and say, you know what, I don't want to look weird. I don't want to cause problems. But that grace sustains us and makes us realize that, no, the Lord needs us to stand up and to be a witness. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'd encourage everybody, too, if you don't have a spiritual director, to obtain one. We all need a little guidance. We need that outside perspective. And by having a spiritual director, it really, really gives perspective to our lives and helps us stay on that track.
I agree.
You know, we need to continue growing, because if we're not growing, then obviously we're starting to lose the battle.
I totally agree. And that question does come up. People have asked me, how do you get a spiritual director? My spiritual director has been invaluable to me. I think a lot of times you can go to the local diocese, or there might be a monastery in your area. And if you can't find one, pray. Pray that you get sent a spiritual director. And I agree, that's very important. Stephen, would you agree that there comes a point on the job where you may have to leave that job if you're forced, maybe it's a part of your job, to do something that goes against the Catholic Church? Would you agree that there's a time when you might have to say, I can't stay here?
Absolutely. I mean, it's an extremely tough decision, because you have to think about, especially if you're married, if you've got a family, how am I going to provide for my family? If I leave this job, do I do the immoral thing? Do I do what's going against my conscience and possibly get fired or have to leave this job?
Mm-hmm.
Or, do I take a leap of faith and just trust in God? And I would, just encourage everybody. You've got to trust God. You've got to have that open heart. And again, that's where having those spiritual directors, where having those peers that are with you fighting that battle can really help support you and build you up.
I agree, because I was talking to somebody last night. I was leading a parish mission here in Pennsylvania, and I was talking to a gentleman who said, when I come here in this church, especially to this mission, it's my sanctuary. I feel safe. But he said, I'm glad that I'm here, because I need to be equipped, because when I go out through those doors into the world, I need to be able to remember that the Lord is with me, and I need to act in a way that would please him.
That is so true, Gary. That is so true. I mean, this is mission territory.
Yes,
and,
sir.
Legatus, like so many organizations, are trying to enter into this new evangelization and build the laity up and be that support system for our church. And sometimes that puts us into awkward situations and difficult positions.
Right.
But you're right. We've got to rely on our prayer. We've got to rely on God to pull us through and to pull our families through. It's complete trust and confidence in the Lord.
Right, and that's sometimes it gets difficult to trust. That's where the grace really does help. Stephen, if our listeners want to find out more about Legatus, is there a place that they could go online?
Absolutely, www.legatus.org. That's LEGATUS.org. I'm proud to say, Gary, in your backyard, we have a Philadelphia chapter, and we also have a new Bucks County chapter that's actually chartering in 2 weeks.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Yeah. I've spoken to the Philadelphia chapter. That is a good group. Bucks County one, that's awesome. That's even closer to where the station is.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, and that's Archbishop Pugh is going to be with us in a couple weeks to celebrate that fantastic celebration.
That is great. Stephen, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. I really appreciate it. It was great to talk to you. Keep up the good work with Legatus.
Hey, thank you very much, and count on our prayers, and we appreciate yours as well, Gary. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you, brother. God bless you. That's Stephen Henley, the executive director of Legatus. Boy, that is a message that we need to hear. It's tough. It's tough to be a Christian if you're going to be a true follower of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Dave?
Absolutely. Powerful words.
Yep, powerful words. Check out more at legatus.org. When we come back, we're going to talk about the fathers of the church. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. California prosecutors say two pro-life activists who made undercover videos of Planned Parenthood officials showing a willingness to sell fetal tissue have now been charged with 15 felonies. The state attorney general announced the charges yesterday against David DeLeiden and Sandra Merritt of the California-based Center for Medical Progress. The allegations claim the pair filmed 14 people without their consent between October 2013 and July 2015, most of them in San Francisco and Los Angeles counties. They were also charged with criminal conspiracy. Messages left for attorneys and representatives for DeLeiden and Merritt were not immediately returned, but DeLeiden has previously said he followed the law and that investigations of him are an assault on citizen journalism. The British pound is facing some selling pressure before formal triggering of the country's two-year process to leave the European Union. With just hours to go before the start of Brexit, The pound is 0.4% lower since the country voted to leave the EU in a referendum last June. The currency has suffered a steep decline, losing around 20% of its value. And Pope Francis has demanded urgent action to protect civilians in Iraq, saying forces involved in the battle for Mosul have an obligation to protect innocents following a recent spike in civilian casualties. The Holy Father issued a special appeal for peace in Iraq at the end of his general audience today. He said he was particularly concerned about Iraqis trapped by recent fighting to take Mosul back from Islamic State group militants. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
You're listening to Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Christopher Minutes. Thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. The world around us is often filled with chaos and confusion, so how do you find some peace? One website suggested some ways to move past stress. First, they say, commit to change and take control. Knowing where you are going and how you'll best get there is a good first step. Next, don't be so hard on yourself. Love yourself instead. Nothing stops inner peace more than judging your own mistakes too harshly. Third, cut off negative people. They're not helping you be the best person you can be. Finally, face your fears. Be realistic about what might happen and be logical in planning ways to deal with those difficult times. And remember, a share of God's own peace is just a prayer away. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Did I forget that you've
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. That was Natalie Grant with The King of the World. Your time right now is 7:36. There's a new book out from Catholic Answers Press called Handed Down, The Catholic Faith of the Early Christians. We're joined now by the author of that book, Jim Papandrea. Good morning, Jim. How are you, brother?
Good morning, and how are you?
I am great. Glad to have you on the show. I really thank you for coming on to talk about this. Let's talk about the Church Fathers. We do hear a lot of talk about the Church Fathers. Can you briefly, Jim, tell us who are the Church Fathers? Because a lot of times it gets confused.
Right, right. And I think, thankfully, the Church Fathers are gaining new appreciation lately. The Church Fathers are really the sort of successors to the apostles. Mm-hmm. They are that, you know, the next few generations of early bishops and lay teachers and then really the first theologians of the church. So the time period of the Church Fathers can vary depending on who's talking about it, but mm-hmm. it's really the first several centuries of the church in the Roman Empire. And the Church Fathers are those people who, by their writings, really defined the church itself and defined what Christianity was going to be in the world and clarified its doctrine.
So if we want to get a picture of the early church as founded by Christ, looking at the writings of the Church Fathers makes perfect sense.
That's right, because, of course, we have the New Testament, and that's great because those documents are written by apostles and they're inspired.
Right.
But then right after the New Testament, it doesn't just stop. I mean, there's actually a lot more that one could read from the early church, that the story continues on. And these are what we call the primary sources of the early church. These are the documents actually written by those first bishops and theologians.
Now, on a personal level, how did you first become interested in the teachings of the early church and the Church Fathers?
Well, I went to seminary as a Protestant, and I went to a seminary out in California called Fuller Seminary, which I loved my experience there, by the way, kind of an interdenominational seminary. And it was there that I fell in love with church history, although my church history professor, who was great, was more of a Reformation guy. And so I thought, gee, I didn't really get enough of the early church. And I started on a journey of reading the Church Fathers on my own,
right.
And then I eventually went back to get my PhD in New Testament and early Christianity especially, and then that's what led me back to the Catholic Church, was through the Church Fathers.
Wow, that is a common story. I hear that so many times, the Church Fathers leading people into the church, or possibly even helping those who have become lukewarm to become re-energized because of the writings of the Church Fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, there is a belief that we hear sometimes that we today are smarter than those people who were before us, especially when it comes to matters of faith. In other words, the truth evolves over time. How do you, when we look at that, first of all, is that an accurate position? And how does that match up with the concept that the faith is actually handed on?
Yeah, I think that is kind of one of the myths of modernism, and that is that somewhere, in the modernist period, humanity came to a sort of new level of pride in the sense that, with advances in technology and medicine, we automatically assumed that we are becoming more advanced in things like philosophy as well. And we've come to the point where, we as a human race collectively seem to believe that we are always automatically smarter than everyone who came before us just because we live later in time, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And that is not really the way the sort of Judeo-Christian, mind works or should work, in the sense that both Peter and Paul in their writings in the New Testament said, that the truth and the faith and reality is something that humans really can't discover on their own. They have to receive it by revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the most important revelation the definitive revelation of God is the incarnation in Jesus Christ, right?
Right, right.
And so he taught the apostles, they taught their disciples who became the first bishops, and in this way, truth then is received and it's handed down, and religion, really any religion, is by definition conservative in the sense that it conserves or preserves a tradition that it hands down, and so Christianity is no different in that sense. If we are doing it right, we are receiving the tradition that's been given to us by those who came before us, and we are respecting that tradition, and yet, you know, we live in a world in which, you know, the contemporary thought is automatically everything that's newer is better.
Right.
And so those two worldviews, those two ways of thinking about understanding and truth are kind of at odds. Mm-hmm. And we live in this time where those two ways of thinking are fighting against each other.
And to me, it would be logical if we have so many denominations, so many Christian denominations now. Now, I'm a cradle Catholic. I never left the church. But to me, it would be logical if I wanted to find the one true church, because there are so many different ones out there, it would be logical to look back to the earliest days of Christianity, to the people who lived shortly after the time of Christ, and investigate how they believed, how they practiced their faith, in order to find that one true church. Would you agree that that's a logical way to approach it?
Well, that is exactly how I approached it. You know, yeah. I sort of instinctively had this idea that, you know, if I want to find out what the church was meant to be, I should go back and look at what Jesus established and what he taught his apostles and what they taught their disciples, and that somehow the people who were closest in time to Jesus and the apostles would have a better sense of what the church was meant to be and how we're even to understand God and Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of my instinct, although, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody thinks that way. I mean, I find a lot of times even among scholars in the academic world, this idea that, well, you know, those people lived back in that time. They were backward. They were they were naive. They, you know. And when you do the research, you find out that that's not at all true. This is the world that produced, you know, people like St. Augustine. And so, you know, I dare you to find somebody that smart now. And so,
yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Right. Right. And Jim, if we look through your book, I think what we're going to find is that those of us who are Catholic, when we look at what's contained in your book and certainly the teachings of the Church Fathers, we're going to find that what is contained there, what early Christianity contains and the practices of early Christianity support our Catholic beliefs.
Well, that is kind of the whole point of the book. That's exactly right. Because when I studied the early church, I found out that this is basically Catholicism. And, you know, when I was a Protestant, and not to bash Protestants here or anything, but I'll just tell you my experience. When I was a Protestant, I was told that the Protestant Reformation was an attempt to get back to some sort of pristine, original version of Christianity that existed before the Catholic Church, you know, quote-unquote, added all of these extra things.
Right.
And I believed that for a long time. But when I did the research, I found out that you know, most, if not all, of the things that the Catholic Church was supposed to have added later, like in the Middle Ages, let's say, or even later, these are almost all a part of original Christianity. And what you find out when you study the early church is there is no such thing as a pre-Catholic Christianity.
Wow.
You know, there is no such thing as an original version of Christianity that does not also have devotion to Mary, prayer to the saints, our understanding of the Eucharist, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so that, coupled with my travels in Rome and my studying there, and I just got to the point where I knew that I had to be a part of the church that was, you know, still most consistent with original Christianity, and that's the Catholic Church.
Wow. Jim, I want to thank you for joining us today. I know you had to wake up early, and I really appreciate you coming on the program.
My pleasure.
The book, Handed Down, The Catholic Faith of the Early Christians. Where's the best place to get a hold of the book?
Well, it's on Amazon, everywhere else you can order books. It's from Catholic Answers Press, so if people are familiar with Catholic.com, they can certainly go there. Or they can go to drjimsbooks.com, and that's my Amazon author page, and all my books are there. That's drjimsbooks.com.
Excellent. Dr. Jim Papandrea, thank you so much for joining us on Spirit in the Morning.
Thank you. It's always a blessing.
All right. God bless you, brother. When we come back, boy, that was a good segment.
Yeah, it was.
When we come back, I learned so much on this show. You know, it's funny, Dave.
You and I, we
listen to these guests. They really have some great points to make. Mm-hmm. What a blessing it is to be here. When we come back, we're going to do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse, and I want to share something that happened at the mission last night. So stay tuned. We also have Best Lent Ever coming up. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This is the audio from today's Dynamic Catholic's Best Lent Ever Daily Reflection featuring Matthew Kelly.
For more than 20 years, I've been talking about the concept of becoming the best version of yourself. And one of the things I love about the concept is that it helps us to make sense of everything, okay? It touches on everything. There's no part of your life that it doesn't affect. There's no part of your life that it doesn't help to say, okay, is this helping me become the best version of myself or hindering me from becoming a better version of myself? And so the concept is very powerful in that sense. And one of the areas I think it's phenomenally powerful is in the area of friendship. You know, when you think about the friends of your life, okay, and not just your friends right now, but the friends of your life, one thing remains universally true, and that is that some people help us become a better version of ourselves, and some people don't. And that is a two-way street. Some people, we are helping them become the best version of themselves, and some people, we're not. In fact, worse than that, sometimes we're hindering someone from becoming a better version of themselves because of the type of friendship that we're extending to that person. And I think it's a great area for us to reflect upon in our lives, because I really do believe that sooner or later we rise or fall to the level of our friendships. I really do believe that you can't make this journey alone. You know, when you think about the spiritual journey, when you think about what God is calling you to, you can't make this journey alone. That's why Jesus didn't send them out in ones. He sent them out in twos, because he realized people have bad days. People need to be encouraged. People need to feel like they belong. People need a pat on the back from time to time and say, hey, good job. People are people, and that's you and me, and we have a need to make this journey with other people. And other people have a need to make this journey with us. And so friendship is a beautiful thing, but it's also an enormous responsibility, because our friendship is either helping people or hindering people from making their spiritual journey. Our friendship is either helping or hindering people from becoming the best version themselves. And so today, I think it's good to look around your circle of friends and do an examination. Who's helping you become a better version of yourself? And then to look around your circle of friends again and say, how am I helping these people to become the best version of themselves? And to step it up a notch, to take friendship to a new level, to proactively ask ourselves, okay, how can I help this friend become a better version of herself or himself?
That was Matthew Kelly with Dynamic Catholic's Best Lent Ever Daily Reflection. You can experience your best Lent ever by signing up for Dynamic Catholic's free video-based program by going to bestlentever.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation.
Chris Tomlin, I remember hearing him talking about that song, and he said, you know, if I write a song called Jesus, it better be a good song. And that really is. That's a great song. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. I want to real quickly share the Be Not Afraid Bible verse, which leads me into something that I want to discuss that happened last night at St. Robert Bellarmine at the final night of my parish mission. Today's Be Not Afraid Bible verse, John 12:46. Jesus said, I came into the world as light, so everyone who believes in me might not remain in darkness. If you're struggling in life, if you got problems around you, if you don't know what to do, what I recommend is you get to know Jesus on a personal level. Really give control of your life. Give your life over to Jesus Christ. I know you hear that a lot, but I mean it. It's not just a saying. it's a real important thing for you to do.
I swear the Pope really pays attention to your Be Not Afraid Bible verses.
Well, he's a regular listener, I know.
You text with him
Why
regularly.
Wouldn't he?
Here's his tweet today, literally 25 minutes ago, so maybe he's leading you.
Maybe. All right.
But the peace that springs from faith is a gift. It is the grace of feeling that God loves us and that he's always beside us.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
I just found it interesting because it relates.
But it's
Thank
true.
You, Pope Francis.
And it's so easy to forget that he's always beside us. And
exactly.
That's why we get stressed out. But I want to let you guys know something that happened last night.
Mm-hmm.
The parish mission, we had a very... almost a packed church. It was an amazing three nights. And I took a chance last night, and I said, here's what I'm going to do. On the last night, because my mission is all about overcoming anxiety, getting to learning to grow closer to Jesus Christ, I said, I'm going to give you the chance to give your life to Jesus Christ, and I want you to stand up if you're willing at the end. And I led everybody in prayer. Mm. And I'm thinking, is anybody going to really do this? It was amazing.
Wow.
The whole church stood up.
Wow.
And people gave their life to Jesus Christ. I mean, mm-hmm. We hear about that. We hear about the Protestants doing that, and we think, like, oh, yeah, that's really
nice. I thought of Billy Graham immediately. I used to watch all the time.
Right.
I still Franklin now.
But that's the secret to finding peace in life, and it's the
Beautiful.
Secret to getting to heaven. And these people did it. I led them in prayer. What a great Lenten, practice to turn your life over to Christ. Right? For real.
And what I would say is there's things done in other faiths, whether mm-hmm. Catholic or Christian or not,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, that are actually very useful and very energetic that we can utilize. And it's just ways to evangelize. And, you know, ultimately, many of the faiths are on the same goal.
Mm-hmm. Gare, how did you feel? And what did you think
when you
saw
him
stand?
And that's what I said to them. I said, you know, you might not want to stand. You don't have to if you don't want to. But what a great witness it would be. And these people stood up for Jesus Christ and mm-hmm. really turned their lives over to him. But it's this type of thing we have to do on a daily basis.
Were you speechless?
I was. I mean, I was really stunned. It was really,
and that
really
takes
powerful.
A lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
What, no, seriously. No kidding, folks.
But it was really a powerful experience.
Beautiful.
And that's the secret. You want to get peaceful in life, say, Jesus, take the wheel, like that song mm-hmm. by Carrie Underwood that we play.
Are we going to start singing it?
That's what Mother Angelica always did. So we were talking a lot about that yesterday, if you think about it. She gave her life to what you want, Jesus. And
that's hard to do, Frank.
It's extraordinarily hard to do. You have to give her credit in that. But, you know, these are things that we could take from her life and what mm-hmm. she did.
Yep. And that's what we want to help you with here on Spirit in the Morning. Here's what we're going to do. Let's close in prayer before we have to sign off. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O God, who reward the merits of the just and offer pardon to sinners who do penance, have mercy, we pray, on those who call upon you, that the admission of our guilt may serve to obtain your pardon for our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for listening. Remember, tomorrow we got that special live music show. And Friday, we're going to be joined by Jack Beers from the Dynamic Catholic Institute, who's going to make sure that this really is our best Lent ever.
Yes,
and our buddy Dan Burke will join us
Absolutely.
On Friday.
I was going to say, Gare, I mean, we can invite our listeners to stand. You can ask that. You know, please stand and give your life over again to Jesus.
That's right. That's right. And remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, as Frank said earlier, the Lord is with you. He's not hiding. He's right there. All you need to do is turn around and say hi. God bless you, and we'll talk to you next time.